Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and with us now to say a kind of personal goodbye to WNYC listeners is the longtime host of Weekend Edition Sunday, Leanne Hansen. After 22 years of bringing you the hard news, the cultural conversations, and the puzzle, Leanne is moving on to the next phase of her life after her May 29th show. We are delighted that she is joining us now for a few minutes here on The Brian Lehrer Show. Hey, Leanne, and is congratulations the right word?
I'm not sure if congratulations is the right word. Maybe best wishes on the great unknown that's waiting for me, Brian. And by the way, you can call me Oscar.
Another Oscar. We're all a bunch of schlubs around here.
Well, I'm moving, you know, so I'm realizing just how much of an Oscar I am.
What's it been like for all these years when, just as everyone else is letting their hair down for the weekend, you're going to work?
Well, I'm unconscious. I mean, no. it's a little interesting sometimes, particularly when the clocks change and we get that extra hour. The bars stay open an extra hour. So I'm just waking up and driving in, and everybody else is kind of swerving their way home. So there's more traffic than you would expect that time in the morning.
I used to work overnights in radio, and then on that, you know, spring ahead night when other people would, or whichever one, people would get an extra night, extra hour of sleep, I had an extra hour of work.
Yes. It didn't quite work that way for me. I do get an extra hour of sleep, but then again, you make up for it in the fall when you lose that hour, and that's pretty painful.
So then you hung out with the priests and the ministers on your days off, all the Sunday morning shift people.
Oh, and don't forget, I didn't realize this because I never thought of it, but when I was in Las Vegas, I met a lot of cocktail waitresses who say that they, and performers, who listen to Weekend Sunday on their way home
on their way home. You became host of Weekend Edition in 89, replacing the legendary Susan Stamberg. What was the challenge there? I mean, Susan's on-air personality was much broader, you know, with her big laugh and everything, and you're more understated. Did listeners have any trouble adjusting?
Oh, sure. I mean, well, first of all, I have to say straight out, Susan taught me a lot of what I know because I used to be a production assistant on All Things Considered. Mm-hmm. So I would actually cut her interviews. So she taught me a lot about writing. Susan had said to me, if anyone says to you, you're not Susan, say, you're right, I'm not. I'm Leanne. And I'm giving the same advice to Audie Cornish, who will be my replacement. She'll start in the fall.
Yeah.
When people start to say to her, oh, you're not Leanne, I say, Audie, just stand up and say, I'm Audie. And I'm hoping that everyone that gave me a chance when I was filling the shoes of a national treasure will give that same chance to her. I'm not categorizing myself as a national treasure, but I've been hearing big shoes to fill. They're only size 8. And Audie, she's going to be herself. So I think the show is in very, very good hands.
For better or worse, I think one of the first things people will always associate you with is your puzzle segments with Will Shortz. Mm. Whose idea was it to put the equivalent of the Sunday crossword on the radio?
It originated actually when Susan began the show.
Mm.
It looked at like a Sunday newspaper where you would have your front page, your editorial, your arts section, and it was her idea to include a puzzle. And she was originally going to have Richard Maltby on, but he had conflicts. He had other things that he was doing. So he recommended a young editor of Games Magazine known as Will Shortz. And so Susan did a puzzle with him, but it was sporadic. It wasn't every week, and listeners were not involved. It was just Will quizzing Susan. And when I came on board in 1989, I suggested it was the one place in the show where we could actually be interactive, which was a big, you know, big word in 1989. Yep. And we just started it going, and the ball started rolling. And from that 7 minutes of a puzzle, people gradually began to listen to the rest of the program. So it's something that I enjoy immensely. It's the one thing that I do that I don't have to think about before I go in. In fact, the best brain for that is nothing in the brain and just play the puzzle. It also gives me a chance to meet one of our listeners and to give a shout out to their member station every week. So yeah. It was an idea that started with Susan and evolved during my tenure.
Now, a debate broke out in our office this week over whether you actually were playing along on the puzzle with the listener contestants as you appear to be, or whether you actually were given the answers and were just being supportive. And my position was that you were not given the answers and you were generally guessing along. Tell me I'm right.
You are right. And Will would never stand for giving anybody the answers. he really wants to play. And so in that spirit, we sort of say it, the title of a radio program, it's only a game. You know, we're going to have some fun. No, I do not know the answers.
It's also a programming decision, I think, right? To sort of cast you as a co-contestant rather than a co-quiz master.
Yeah, I think so, because it puts us both in the same position, the listener and myself, and so they don't feel like they're being, you know, dumped on. Yeah, by two people. So it really does become that moment when we're working with one another, and there are times when neither of us will know the answer, and somehow we start working on it, and we come up with it. And I will tell you, if I do know the answer, I often give the listener more of a chance, because it's not about me. I'm the host. They are the guest. It's my job to help them look good.
Leanne Hansen, my guest, as she gets ready to say goodbye and retire from Weekend Edition after 22 years, after her show next weekend, Memorial Day weekend. You and Scott Simon on Saturday morning also had weekend mornings with Daniel Shore, who is like God. What was it? I don't even know what to ask you. What was it like working with Daniel Shore?
He was amazing. I mean, he was a walking encyclopedia of history. And I have to tell you that I've been feeling his absence quite a bit in the past couple of weeks, because I would love to hear what he had to say about Osama bin Laden and what has happened there and what's going on with the budget crisis. There are times when you want to go to him and say, what are your thoughts on this? And he can bring up something in history that, if it's not exactly similar, it has some resonance with the events of the day. And I miss him. I mean, you know, he was an icon in many people's eyes, but he was such a great guy. He really was a great guy. And the greatest compliment he ever paid me is when he told me, "You are a journalist."
And not only was he sort of wisdom embodied, was he as nice all the time as he was to me when I met him? The one time I met him as a young journalist, and he didn't know me from Adam, he was so nice to me, and he really gave me the time of day and answered my questions, and he really didn't have to.
He is someone that inspired a lot of us. He was more than willing to pass on his knowledge to the up-and-coming generations of journalists and producers and editors. I mean, yeah, he could be prickly, but you could allow him to be prickly. Yeah. I mean, it was Dan Shore. And, you know, anybody who can read his name on Nixon's enemies list on the air and keep a straight face, you got to admire that.
Now, that's for sure. NPR.org has a Goodbye Leanne page that includes some of your memorable stories and interviews. Listeners, you can hear the audio at NPR.org. So on the harder news side, moving chronologically from left to right across your radio dial, the first one is the release of Nelson Mandela from prison in 1990, followed by the Clarence Thomas Anita Hill hearings, Princess Diana's fatal car crash — that was a Saturday night, Sunday morning story — the singer Cat Stevens, or Yusuf Islam, supporting Ayatollah Khomeini's death fatwa against Salman Rushdie — you interviewed Cat Stevens — the capture of Saddam Hussein, which happened on your watch, U.S. Weapons Inspector David Kaye announcing there were apparently no WMDs in Iraq.
And Brian? And you know what? David Kaye is coming back as a guest my last show.
No kidding. That's the one I was going to ask you about, because he actually broke that on your show, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He actually called us and said, "I'm back. I've got my report. Before I present it, I would I would like to unveil it on your show. And we thought of all the places where he could go. We said, why? And he said, well, you know, I trust you. And we've developed a relationship. And I feel like I can have a conversation with you that will get the information out. It wouldn't end up just being a food fight, for better lack of word, or that it wouldn't also be sensationalized. He trusted us, and so he wanted to bring the news to us. He's since retired, and I hear he's taken up photography. So I can't wait to catch up with him, as well as kind of get his take on what's going on nowadays, particularly with places like Iran.
So a weapons inspector retires and becomes a photographer.
Right.
And after 22 years hosting Weekend Edition Sunday, what do you do?
I don't know.
You don't know yet?
You know what? I think I'm moving to a small community in Delaware where I'm going to be living. My first goal is to become part of that community and get involved in that community. I'm hoping to do maybe some community theater. I'm hoping to do some professional voiceover work so I can afford to do community theater. and I am going to be spending time in a place that I love and it makes me happy. And it's sort of the leap in the net will appear. I turned 60 this year. I've always been someone who's reinvented herself as life has gone on, and it just feels right that this is the time for me to pass on the torch to the next generation.
So after 22 years in the chair, what would your best advice be to Audie Cornish?
Get some sleep. Get as much sleep as you can. Be patient. Things take a while. Technology is not an immediate sort of thing. And I gave her my own advice, which is, as far as going to bed at night, horizontal by 8, unconscious by 9.
Well, Leanne Hansen, the listeners love you and will miss you. Thank you for 22 great years, or approximately 1,144 Sunday mornings.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
And thanks for... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I don't know how much longer I'm going to have to do this in my career, but I'd like to ask all those people who are listening to me right now to call 1-888-376-9692. Make that pledge. You could win an iPad, too. And, you know, I might get off the air and make a pledge, too. I want an iPad, too.
Spontaneous and unrehearsed from Leanne Hansen. One of the things that you network hosts don't actually have to do is go on and do concentrated pitching, right?
No, but we do record them for the stations, and then when we visit, we do. But, yeah, I haven't done this since I was a development assistant in Binghamton, New York. So.
Leanne, thanks again. Good luck.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us, and we'll talk to you coming up about why this show may be your last.